Hour number two of the program here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas with you until 4 o'clock. We are doing our thing here live at State Farm Arena. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed. It is an awesome event. We are currently in a shift change right now, so all things are quiet on the Western Front, but I'm sure you guys were able to hear in hour number one, we were rocking and rolling and whatnot. There's DJs on stage, and pretty soon, in just a few more minutes, our next batch of volunteers will come out. We are currently at 550,000 meals that have been packed, and we are getting all the way up to 1 million meals. It's a really, really cool event. Had some great interviews in the first hour. Got to chat with Hawks legend Dominique Wilkins. We'll run that back for you later in the show if you missed it. Also got a chance to interview Gail Bean, Stone Mountain Stand Up. She is an up-and-coming actress in the industry. She's got a new movie coming out. We talked about all that as well. And we found out we had a shared love for Marvel. How about that? And we were talking about our favorite Marvel movies and our favorite Marvel characters. She was an absolute blast to speak to. Got a bunch more guests coming up for you later on in the program as well. Hawks fans, you're going to want to stay tuned. That's all I'll say right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Obviously, we know the big story of the day is going to be Sunday Night Football. Kansas City's coming into town, only a 3-point favorite, so, you know, can they get it done? Absolutely they can. Am I expecting it? You guys know I'm always going to be honest with you. No, I'm not, but that doesn't mean that you should pout, because the games against the Saints and the Bucks are going to mean a whole lot more, and it's going to be a big test. The Bucks got the Broncos this weekend. You would assume that they should walk, and the Saints are taking on the same foe that the Falcons just had in the Philadelphia Eagles. So we'll see if the Eagles can respond after that devastating, bone-crushing, heart-wrenching loss that they suffered to our Atlanta Falcons on Monday Night Football in humiliating fashion, and we all reveled in it so, so much. But now, of course, it's time to turn the page, because you can't sleep on the Chiefs. We all know that. Mahomes, Kelce, Chris Jones, the whole bunch is coming to town for Sunday Night Football. All right, want you to hear another awesome conversation I had. If you have not checked out this guy's music, it is absolutely awesome. He is funky, he is fresh, he's got rock, he's got rhythm and blues. Buddy Red, I was able to catch up with him as he was here as well a little earlier helping out, pack some meals at State Farm Arena. This was my conversation with Buddy Red. Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Chris Thomas at the Million Meal Pack at State Farm Arena, having a blast this afternoon. This guy, my next guest, Buddy Red, usually working the strings. Today, he's working those million meals. What does this event mean to you?
Man, that was smooth, man. This event means a whole lot, because the Harris Family Foundation, you know, we've done so much over the course of like 2 decades as far as, you know, packing up for Thanksgiving, packing meals for Thanksgiving, and, you know, holiday drives. It just seemed only right to be a part of this and, you know, see how this is. I'm sorry, go ahead.
In this position that you're in with your platform, how much does it mean to you to give back?
It means a whole lot, because I probably wouldn't be plugging the strings if it wasn't for this city and, you know, the contributions it's made to my family and, you know, my father's legacy. It means a whole lot, for real.
Being in this building, seeing the energy and the vibe, how cool has it been to watch everybody work?
Man, it was real cool. I don't know what I was expecting. Like, as soon as I walked in, the sheer scale of, like, how many people were working kind of threw me off. I said, oh, this is a real operation in here. Like, I was thinking maybe it was going to be a couple long tables. You know? But no, it's a whole thing in there. And everybody was smiling so much and giving hugs and, hey, how you doing? And said, oh, wow, everybody's like happy and stuff too. All right, cool. And everyone was really helpful and patient with me, you know, packing stuff up. And I was asking questions like, why does this all go first?
Yeah.
But it was really cool, man. It really threw me by surprise.
Being from the ATL and living here now, the musical scene is incredible. From hip-hop to R&B to rock, you name it, the genres are represented. Where did you draw your inspiration from here in Atlanta?
Where did I draw my inspiration from in Atlanta? Honestly, my mother and father, they surrounded me with rap and R&B. But once I kind of, I guess, caught on with the internet in like 2006, 2007, I realized there was a whole world of music out there. And all I can say is my mother and father, they introduced me to music, and I myself kind of saw all the different branches music, you know, extended towards.
Who do you draw your inspiration from musically?
Musically, I love Pink Floyd. I love Led Zeppelin. I love the Hendrix Experience, the Doors, the Strokes, man, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, some might say we'll get some Purple Rain later today. How about that?
I love Prince as well.
All right, man, appreciate the time as always, and best of luck on your musical career, my friend.
One thing I want to mention, today I just dropped my new song, my new single. It's called Sold His Soul. It's a cautionary tale set to rock music, and I think you guys will like it.
All right, make sure you go check that out wherever you get your music, Spotify, the whole deal.
The whole deal. Instagram, Spotify, YouTube, all of that stuff.
All right, Buddy Red, appreciate the time.
Thank you.
That is a great Buddy Red there. Again, he is doing it differently. I love his sound. I love the way he's able to incorporate so many different sounding genres into his music. And again, it was a great time catching up with him earlier today. All right, back to the Falcons conversation now, because, listen, Kirk Cousins, I don't know, he... Have you noticed this a little bit? Kirk Cousins, three or four different times now, he spoke on something that I don't know if the Falcons organization necessarily loved that he was so front-facing about.
Yeah, but I don't know who his PR representative is, but he might want to go with a new agency.
He lets it fly, man. But you know what? Maybe 13, 14 years in the league, you know, he's like, I've been there, done that, seen it all. I don't care. So
Right. I was going to say, when has he not been an open and honest guy? When he was open and honest, when he came in as a rookie, he was like, I didn't come here to sit behind RG3. I came here to compete for the job. So, yeah, he's always been that way.
It's crazy because that was, again, I think that was like 13 or 14 years ago. All right, let's hear a couple of things from Kirk. This was the low light, I guess you could call, of the Sunday night win. It was before the game. Troy Aikman went on the air and said that he spoke to Kirk Cousins and that he was not 100%, but when he was just in the pocket, he felt 100%. And then Kirk clarified those comments to us.
Yeah, I was more referring to the fact that the rust and the red jersey factor. I think that what happened a little bit was the season, you know, Raheem was doing such a good job of stay away from the quarterback. He's got a red jersey all camp, not just for me, but for all the quarterbacks. And so we got this kind of false sense of, oh, I got all this space, you know, this is nice. And I think in the game, they don't, you know, you're not getting that. And the telephone booth shrunk. And I think there was a little bit of a, you know, I've got to get to where the rust is off and I'm more comfortable being used to that environment, since it has been since week 8 of last year. And so that's probably more what I was referring to. But, you know, I do feel really good from the physical standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, do I think he maybe got a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to go out there and say that? Perhaps. We'll never know. But I do think at the end of the day, he is going to be progressing week in and week out. We saw how much better he looked in week 2 and week 1. That also helps when you don't have TJ Watt, you know, trying to maul you every single play for an entire game as he did in week 1. But at the same time, I just find it interesting, as E and I were just joking about, you know, there's been a couple of incidents now from when he said he talked to some trainers and stuff before the season, and that was a no-no, and lost a couple of draft picks, to announcing preemptively that he was not going to play in the preseason. And yeah, Kirk's been a roller coaster when it comes to his press conferences. One thing he did want to make sure that everybody knew is that he's taking this thing seriously, man. He was talking about football. This isn't just some sort of hobby to him. He lives and breathes the sport.
Yeah, I think there is a little bit of you try to, whether directly or indirectly, make it very clear that this is not a hobby. And that, you know, I'm very serious about this. And and so you do try to communicate that. And I think the guys understand that already without saying it. But, yeah, it's funny you bring that up with Raheem, because I said to him at the two-point conversion that he went for, I kind of came off the field miffed, and I thought maybe he thought that I was mad he wanted to go for two. And I said, hey, Coach, you know, I wasn't mad at you. I was just mad at the play that we didn't get the 2 points. And he said, oh, no, I know. He goes, and I was just trying to to keep you positive, Kirk, because I know you're hard on yourself. And so he was like, it's funny how a head coach has to be like a psychologist and kind of treat everyone fairly, but not the same, you know. And so he, with me, he's like, I don't have to, you know, get on Kirk. He's going to get on himself. So it's funny when you hear how he's got to kind of be so aware of everybody, you know.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though. This guy is the real deal in terms of a competitor, in terms of a leader, a general out on the field. We saw it going all the way back to training camp. When something doesn't go right, he's on you, and he's going to let you know. And there's been a couple of contentious exchanges with players, not that it actually translates into anything, just in the heat of the battle, as they like to say, or on the heat of the practice field, in terms of just two professional players needing to, you know, respect the job and make sure that they're all doing everything they can to get everything right on any given play. And I love that about Kirk. That shows that he's a real leader, and you can see that the guys respect him. If he has something to say to you, you're going to listen, and I love that from Kirk. One more from QB1 before we catch a quick break here. He talked about, I joked around about this earlier in the show. What did you do after a huge win, the biggest win in the last couple of years for the team? Did you celebrate? Did you pop champagne? Did you sleep? No, we grinded film.
I was watching it on the plane, certainly, all cracking jokes with Jake Matthews and Drew Dahlman and Caden Ellis, who were sitting around me. We're kind of a combination, but I was watching, and you know, had my notes and thoughts. And there's just, you know, football's such a situational deal. So it was third down, it was red zone. It wasn't every play, you know, and there were reasons maybe in third down or red zone that certain plays didn't turn out as well as I'd hoped. But there, those are some of the plays I wanted to be better at.
I just think that at the end of the day, when you look at what he's meant to this organization so far, it's been invaluable. It's really been a game changer, as something that this organization, this franchise, has lacked for so long now, going back to the end of Matt Ryan's days. And we all know the struggles of the last couple of seasons. And to have him come here and be so professional and so efficient, I think it's meant everything to this organization. All right, when we get back, let's do five Braves true and false questions. Haven't talked about the Braves, bad loss last night. And quite frankly, this may be the last time we get to do a five Braves true and false if they don't get their act together. So E'll have not one, not two, not three, not four, but five questions coming up for me here on the other side. I am hanging out with you here again, if you missed it, at State Farm Arena. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed. We are 550,000 meals down, on the way to a million. Got a shift change coming up here in the crew. DJ's going to come back on stage, and we're going to get this party started once again at State Farm Arena. Chris Thomas with you till 4, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. We are up to 570,000 meals packed here at State Farm Arena. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed. Everybody here doing such a great job, from the staff to the PR to everybody that's been helping me out with all the great interviews we've had so far. And we got plenty more to come your way, as I am here with you, Chris Thomas, with you until 4 o'clock this afternoon. And that's all good and great, and the vibes here have been immaculate. DJs and music and dancing. It's a giant party here. The Braves. Not a giant party last night as they fall to Miami 4-3. Here we go. Charlie did not exactly get it done. Guys, Cincinnati game, now this Miami game. When you have 10 games left in the season and you're 2 games back for the third and final wild card, you can't be tricking these games off, Randy McMichael, right? I mean, come on, man. It's just another bad, bad loss for this team that is fighting and scratching and clawing to hang on. San Diego wins last night. Arizona wins last night. The Mets lose, but you don't gain any ground because you couldn't pull it off either. The Mets got pounded by the Phillies last night, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't do jack. I said this on Twitter. Hit me up at C Thomas Radio. I'll always interact with you guys about all things ATL sports. If you can't win these types of games, Miami is awful. Let's play a game, everybody. Name a Marlin. Name one. I dare you. They don't have Jazz Chisholm anymore. Sandy Alcantara's out for the year. Name a Marlin. Luis Arraez, gone. Name one. I dare you. You know who their best player is? Jake Berger. Who? Yeah, he's a cast-off from the White Sox, who are the worst team in MLB history right now. That's the state of the Marlins, and you lost to them last night 4-3. If this was June, no big deal. I wouldn't even blink twice. We honestly probably wouldn't even be talking about it. But with 10 games left to play, 9, whatever the number is, and you lose a game like this, it's real. Each one is a gut punch, man. Every single one that you lose in this fashion, in this form, it almost counts double, especially if the other teams win. And last night, Arizona won, and San Diego won. So what are we doing, Braves? I mean, you got to be in it. You got to be in it to win it. Every single one of these, they count so much. And you got to have all your key players lined up in a row here. Ozzie just came back. We'll see. I don't know. If you can't beat the Marlins, do you deserve it? I mean, that's really the question that needs to be asked. And that's, yes, I'm factoring in all the injuries and everything that's happened. But still, with a week and change left in the season, you're in it. You're in the game. You're right there. You're two games back. But if you lose to the Marlins, I don't know what to say. Let's see what producer E has to say, because we got 5 true and false questions about these Bravos.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Chris, I just got one thing to say, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, not so much, not so much, not so much. No. All right.
Well, you know what? It is a party here at State Farm Arena, but for the Braves down in Miami's lit, but the Braves are not.
Yeah, no, I'll tell you. Well, I'll tell you what. You can say we've got 10 games to go. They got a lot of work to do, and they can really do it with 1 4-game set. We all know what that is. But let's get to some Braves true and false. Now, the one good positive thing from what we've seen in the past couple of days is Cy Sale. Betterwise known as Chris Sale, now leads the all of MLB, 18 wins, all of MLB in earned run average. So true or false, he has sealed up the National League Cy Young Award.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's so funny. Like, Double A is just so damn good at his job. He really is. There will be a day where we look back and, you know, 15, 20 years from now, we really look at this era of Braves baseball and be like, we had the best GM in the sport, and it wasn't close. Like, sorry, Brian Cashman. Sorry, you know, Theo Epstein. You know, you did your thing a couple of years ago with the two franchises, but, you know, since he's left the game, Double A has slid in as the best general manager and executive in the game. I mean, he really has.
Yeah, he has. The wheels and deals, the guys he finds on the back ends of contracts, the guys he finds that people say, oh, their career is over. Nah, not so fast, yeah. So.
Where would this team be without the combination of Reynaldo Lopez and Chris Sale this year?
We would be
10 games out of the playoffs?
Yeah,
15?
Yeah, our season would have been over a month ago.
Yeah, So just that alone, it's just such a testament. And then for Chris Sale himself, I mean, to come back to four, he's had 5 straight seasons where he was either banged up or working his way back from an injury, and he basically said, I'm finally healthy. And the Braves were like, okay, yeah, we'll grab him.
Wish we could go back to the early of the year and get the odds bets or the prize picks bets. What, Chris Sale's over 10 wins and over 150 strikeouts. We'd be rich.
And I doubt he was top 20 in Cy Young candidates.
Oh, man, God, all those odds, we'd have put $5 on each one. Take them all as a trifecta. And like, yeah, I'm retiring.
No offense to State Farm, but I wouldn't be here right now. I'd be vacationing on an island.
That's
somewhere.
Right. French Riviera, baby. All right, keep it going on this Braves True or False. All right, so this is actually another good one, believe it or not. Quietly, our first baseman is on his way to a 30 home run, 100 RBI season. Now, his average still could be some improvements in the 240s, but true or false, this year has actually been a great year for Matt Olson.
Great, I'll say false. Has it been underrepresented because of the struggles? Yes, but the one thing I think we need to be careful of looking at when you look at his season this year, he struggled for long
periods
of time.
He did. When I saw his numbers, I was like, are you kidding me? If he finishes what he's doing, he'll end up with 30 and 100, which if you told me beginning of the year he would be back at 44 and what he did last year was an anomaly. But to tell me, oh, you're getting 30 and 100 out of first base, who would have said, no, don't need that any more than that?
Yeah, it's funny. It's just like it's how it looks, right? If you're 6'2 and you weigh 220 or you're 5'6 and you weigh 220, it's the same weight, but it looks a lot different depending on how it's played out there. So I think Matt Olson had a fine year. Obviously it's a disappointing one compared to what he did last year. I don't think anybody expected him to replicate that, but I think what's unfortunately gonna stick out most in the minds and eyes of Braves fans is just how he would just whiff over and over. Over and over again in key spots for the majority of the year.
Yeah. I heard one guy on Twitter say, yep, these numbers are gaudy, but they're kind of empty at the same time. And that's tough, man. It's just tough to be a major league player and have such high expectations. All right. Continuing on this week's edition of Braves True and False, Chris Thomas live from State Farm. Wish I was down there with you, brother, but I'm sure you are representing us well. Okay, so on the bump today, Mad Max Fried. 9-10 on the season. He will have this start and probably one more. He probably will miss the Mets, probably end up with the Kansas City Royals in that last series. But true or false, Max Fried is making his next to last regular season start as an Atlanta Brave.
You know what? I have a weird feeling about this one, E, and I've hinted at this a couple of times. I'm going to say false. I'm going to say Max Fried looks at this year, looks at the rest of his career and says, if I go somewhere else, it's just a complete unknown. Am I going to put myself in a position for the rest of my career where I don't know exactly what tomorrow is going to bring because I'm always getting hurt? New environment, new teammates, new coaching staff. Or am I going to say, this team is home. This is where I belong. This team gives me the best shot to win a title. This team gives me the best shot to stay exactly where I am, which is a dominant pitcher in the league when I'm healthy. Because you think he's getting at 180, 170 on the open market? I don't.
Not right now. He probably would have to take a 1-2 year prove-it deal from another organization, unless he just goes to a bad team that has a lot of money. And they'd be like, you know what, we'll pay you to come be our ace because
But he wants to go to the Rockies? Why? Wouldn't you want to stay in Atlanta where you know every year you're going to have a chance to win? And it's where you've been your whole career. It's home.
Yeah, only team that I can see maybe having that chance at him is maybe the Los Angeles Angels because he's a California kid. But no, if it's a get paid more money to go lose or maybe come back to Atlanta, like you said, where it's home, I know we'll be competitive again and maybe I don't get the money I thought I was going to get. Yeah, I'd stay here. You're Atlanta. Well, you used to. Your dollar goes a little further than Atlanta. Definitely goes further than it goes in New York, California, or places like that. So hopefully he's back. I asked you whether it's true or false he's making his next to last, but I agree with you. I hope it's false.
Yeah, I think it's false. I think they're going to get him back. I just don't think, like with Freddie and with Dansby, like there was a market there for them to make way more than what the Braves were going to pay. I don't know if that's the case for Max. I don't know if he's done enough, especially this year.
Yeah, well, we will find out. That will be one of the biggest Braves offseason, if not the biggest Braves offseason story. We'll keep paying a lot of attention to that. All right, keep it going here on the Braves. True or false, Mom Eric Slaughter. All right, this one is kind of a Braves / history, true or false. So, Shohei Ohtani, man, what he's doing, just unbelievable. Hit another one last night. I think he had another homer and steal last night. Had three in one game to get to that magic number of 50-50. So my true or false to you is this. Shohei Ohtani's 50-50 year and what he's doing is more impressive than what Ronald Acuna did in his MVP going 40-70.
No, it's not false. And Carl Dukes brought this up yesterday, and I agree with him 100%. It's just sexy because it's a round number. It's not more impressive. Now, if he goes on a toot over the next 10 games and hits 8 more home runs and steals 12 more bases, okay. I'll concede it.
66,
but as of right...
Yeah, 66. He's at like 54 stolen bases, so almost 60-70. No, wow.
If that happens over the next 10 games, okay, fine. But right now, no. I mean, what Ronald... I mean... 70, what do you have, 72?
72,
I mean,
yeah, that's what he finished with.
Yeah, come on, man. Like, no. Like, again, I really think ESPN and everyone, the hype machine, is playing this up for two reasons. One, it's Shohei Ohtani, the biggest star in the game. And two, it's a nice round number, 50-50. But what Ronald did to me, more impressive. False.
All right, interesting take. But, wow, with the tear he's on, I guess they have about 10 games left, too. Everybody will be paying attention. You know.
Yeah, I mean, again, he could hit 7 more home runs and steal 10 more bases in the next week and a half. I wouldn't be surprised.
All right. Last one, this edition of Braves True or False. The very last one, the most important one, the magic day is October 1st. October 1st is the day wild card series start in the National League and American League. So very simple, my friend, true or false. Come October 1st, the Braves are in uniform or clearing out their lockers.
They're going to make it true. Somewhat a combination of them
by hook or
getting
by
a couple of getting a couple of name a couple of games that they need and one of the other teams slipping up, because none of these teams are perfect now. The Mets, although it's crazy to think, they've had the best record in baseball since June.
Go Phillies. Yeah. You think we'd ever be saying that?
No, but yeah, I'm with you right now. We absolutely are.
Go Phillies.
All right. Well, when we get back, great job, B. We'll get a producer six-pack in here later in the show as well. Of course, whenever I'm on Saturdays, we get that done. When we get back at 1:45, so make sure you set your radio dials, 1:45, about 12 minutes from now, the voice of the Atlanta Braves, Brandon Gaudin, good friend of the show and the station, going to join me to preview the rest of this series, and we'll see what he thinks. Are the Braves a true playoff squad? Again, Chris Thomas with you from State Farm Arena for the Million Meal Pack. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed. 570,000 meals down. We are getting to 1 million meals. It's a great day. It's a great cause. It's a beautiful day in the A in a great state of Georgia. And thank you for being locked into Atlanta's number one sports station, 92.9 The Game, and take us with you anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. That's right. We are at State Farm Arena here. We are having a blast. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed. Big shout out to all the volunteers. I'll tell you what, I knew it was going to be fun, but when they were cooking and they were packing those meals, and we got another shift about to take place right now and keep the train moving, again, if you missed it, at 570,000 meals packed so far, we are getting all the way up to 1 million. It's not just like they're standing in an assembly line making these moves. I mean, here's the thing. It's a party. I mean, DJ spinning. We got people shucking and jiving and grooving and moving. I mean, not only are you celebrating doing a great thing with your family and your Atlanta community, it's a party in here. We're turning up, and we don't even need no liquor. Everybody's doing this at their own volition just because they feel like giving back to the community. It is an absolutely beautiful thing. I am having a blast up here. We are coming to you live from Section 119. I got a beautiful view of the entire court. Man, I'm looking at Jersey Mike right now, our engineer, and I'm like, bro, how much do you think these seats? Like, we're sitting here for free today, but how much do you think these seats cost for a game? Yeah, these are... season ticket members in the special section over here. So big shout out to the Hawks for putting us up in the bougie seats today, because they wanted to make sure we had a crystal clear view of all the action, and it's been so much fun. In just about a minute or so, we are going to catch up with one of the best in the biz, my favorite announcer and yours, Brandon Gaudin of the Bally Braves play-by-play booth. Of course, as we just talked about with E, last night, they really... they really, really, really choked that one away. I mean, you can't make the comeback. It's just, it's so frustrating because you know everybody out there within the sound of my voice, we're living and dying with each pitch with only a handful of games left before the playoffs start. And you're two games behind now. The Mets leapfrogged you. The Mets, again, if you missed my stat last segment, they have the best record in baseball since June. That's crazy when you think about it and you think about the way their season started. And the Padres and the Diamondbacks, they're fighting too. They lost last night, but guess what? It didn't matter. It didn't matter because you couldn't capitalize on an awful Marlins team. And I just think the Braves are putting themselves in a position now where, you know, you're getting behind the eight ball when you're facing teams like Cincinnati and like Miami and not being able to capitalize. You got to win all of those games. There's no excuse. You're just better. You're just every game, your starting pitcher's better than theirs. Your lineup is better than theirs. And you just got to go out and you got to win the game. If you want to go out and make the playoffs. If you don't do that, you simply won't. And it's a shame. Because after this season of injuries like we've never seen before, and the fact that the Braves are in it, coming down to the wire, is awesome. It's a testament to the players. It's a testament to the guys that have come in and stepped in, the Gio Urshelas of the world, the Whit Merrifields of the world. Again, Matt Olson is finding new life. He's going to have another 300 season after his abysmal start. So to have all of that, and then the way that Snit has navigated this season has been masterful, making sure that the lineups are representative every night and controlling a pitching staff that had not one but two guys that, as good as they have been, needed to rest and going with six starters and all that. You know, we criticized where appropriate, but, you know, he had to do what he had to do at the end of the day. And to have all of that come down to these final games. And if you missed the playoffs because you couldn't take care of business against the Cincinnati Reds and the Miami Marlins, I mean, how disappointing would that be, right? That's putting yourself in a position for such a letdown after what was a really, really challenging season. Now, do I think if they make the playoffs, they're going to go on a run and win the World Series? I don't know. I mean, they did it before, right? Is this team as good as the 21 team? Not right now, but it's comparable. It's not significantly worse. There was a lot of, remember guys and gals, there was a lot of replacement players on those teams too. It wasn't just, you know, Acuna who was out again and Strider, you know, those guys weren't there either. So you look at the situation and it's kind of similar. So we'll see what happens. But to get an expert opinion on it, let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our good buddy Brandon Gaudin, play-by-play voice of your Braves for Bally's, along with CJ Nikowski and all the rest of the boys. Brandon, appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely. Glad to do it.
All right. So let's start with what happened last night. I was just waxing poetic about how, you know, Brandon, with such few games left and to be in the hole that you're in, two games wild card spot, to not be able to take advantage of a Miami team that was selling off all of its parts, and you lose a really, really heartbreaking one, 4-3. It almost feels like two losses.
Yeah, it does. Opportunity missed. There's no other way to put it. And it's the same for that first loss in Cincinnati. It's the same for some of the other losses that have been close over the last 4 weeks, where the Braves just feel like they can't quite get over the hump. You know, I know you talked about it, and the obvious good news is that you do get the Mets at home for three, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. So here's the deal. If you can just hold serve or gain a game going into that series, ideally you gain a game. So if the Braves can win these next two, and let's say that the Phillies and Mets split over the next 2 days, then you've got the Mets coming to your park, and you're only behind them one game. If you win two out of three, you own the tiebreaker over the Mets. So essentially, you have, if you can do that, then you take over that third wild card spot, and then you've got one series left against the Royals, and you hope that you can take care of business. Right now, is it a tall task? It is a pretty tall task, but certainly the Braves are not out of it by any stretch of the imagination, and the big reason why is because the Mets come to Truist Park with three games.
How much of a shot in the arm is it to get Ozzie back? I don't even care what he does at the plate or what he does in the field, Brandon. Just from the leadership and the cohesion standpoint that this team needs its ace back.
Yeah, and that's what the guys were saying down on the field yesterday is, look, Ozzie's been around the team because he's that kind of guy. He's going to hang around the team even when he's injured. But to have him put on the uniform and the cleats and go out there and be in the starting lineup, that was a different feel yesterday. The batting practice down by the cage, he just adds so much levity and humor and injects life to the team. He did not obviously provide the spark you were hoping for offensively. He didn't get a hit, although he did put the ball in play and took some good swings. But, yeah, I mean, his presence is big. And everybody's wondering, can Austin Riley make it back? Well, it's not looking like it's going to happen anytime, Lynn, these final eight games. You just cross your fingers that if the Braves get in the postseason, somehow he can get back. But even if he doesn't, because you've gotten such solid defense from Gio Urshela over at third, you feel like with Ozzie coming back, now you got Whit Merrifield as a utility guy that you could use in a pinch-hitting role or a substitution role, that it does help everything top to bottom.
How great has it been to see Michael Harris really showcase, especially from a power standpoint, something that I think before the season got derailed for him a little bit, what we all thought this year could have been?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think that people now have forgotten about that 60-day IL stint for him. He strained that left hamstring back in June against Tampa. He missed over 50 games. That's over 30% of the season. And so it took him a while to get his sea legs back under him. But, yes, I mean, the last 10 games, 17 hits, 6 homers, 10 RBI. So, look, that's the Michael Harris that burst onto the scene a couple years ago when he won the Rookie of the Year award. And if he can continue, that's a pretty hot pace that he's on right now. But if he can just provide even something a little less than that with the great defense he plays out in center field, he just really helps solidify the top of the lineup and the outfield defense. And it's just so important for Atlanta over these final eight games.
Talking all things Braves with the voice of the team, Brandon Gaudin, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Always doing such a great job with CJ Nikowski and the rest of the crew there on Bally's. All right, when it comes to Matt Olson, my producer and I, a couple of segments ago, were having a little bit of fun because you turn around, he's about to have 30 and 100 again, even though I think in the fans' eyes, Brandon, you think about the struggles more this season than the successes.
Yeah, I think that's right, because he got off to such a slow start and because he had such an amazing year last year, right? He has set the franchise record in homers and in runs driven in. Well, then people say, okay, all right, what can he do for an encore? And then he, like everybody else offensively, just got off to that sluggish start. But now, look, if you wanted him to peak at any time, it's now. And he's starting to hit that fastball, especially up in the zone, so much better. And that was something that he really struggled with through the middle part of the season. So you look at the top of the lineup in particular. We talked about Harris, Albies coming back, and then Ozuna, Olson, and Soler, who's also been hitting the ball better. Okay, now you're thinking, if those top five, even though yesterday they didn't produce all that much against Miami, they did in Cincinnati, if those top five get rolling with how good this pitching continues to be, if they can get into the postseason, we say it all the time on air, but it's true. It's a team that no other manager would want to face in a series with the pitching that the Braves have.
Any concern about Pierce Johnson? It seems like over the last little bit here, his ERA is up to 3.6. Seems like he's come in some tight spots, and he's given it up a little bit more than he was at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, I think it's more just a statistical outlier, honestly, because I don't think there's – he has – left that curveball in a couple bad spots, which is unlike him. But his whole body of work still going back to when he became a Brave last year is really good. Yes, he stubbed his toe recently, but I trust that Pierce will get that figured out. And look, even if he can't, let's say that he continues to struggle, the back end of that bullpen is still so darn good with Joe Jimenez and then obviously how good Raisel Iglesias has been. And Dylan Lee has really emerged as that top lefty out of the bullpen in the absence of A.J. Minter. So you get into a postseason situation, you trust that Chris Sale, Spencer Schwellenbach, these guys can go six innings, and then you can turn it over to whether it's Pierce, whether it's Dylan Lee, and then you get to Joe Jimenez and Raisel Iglesias. That's a dangerous combination of pitchers for any lineup to have to face.
When it comes to the starting rotation, obviously you look at Chris Sale and Reynaldo Lopez, what they've done this year. I know that Lopez, you know, we'll see what we can get from him potentially if the Braves do make a postseason. But at the same time, Brandon, Chris Sale has just been, I mean, he leaves you speechless at the end of the day when you look at the end of the season numbers. Just another stroke of genius by Alex Anthopoulos, really.
Essentially, they got him for nothing, and I don't disrespect Vaughn Grissom. I think Vaughn Grissom is going to become a good Major League Baseball player, even though he had his struggles and his injury this year for Boston. But, yeah, Boston had given up on Chris Sale, and Chris Sale basically said, okay, I'll show you that there's a lot left in the tank now at 35 years old, and he's the Cy Young winner. I mean, barring just something crazy here over his last, he'll probably get two more starts, unless he would just totally implode, which I just cannot see happening. He is such a front runner right now for that Cy Young Award, leading the league in wins and ERA and strikeouts. That's tremendous. I mean, that's something that no Braves pitcher has ever done. No Braves pitcher has ever won that Triple Crown to lead in all those three categories. So it's pretty sensational. When you get to know him as a person, it makes you want to cheer for him even more. He's a bulldog on the field. He's more like a puppy off the field, just a great guy that guys gravitate around and towards. And so, yeah, I couldn't be happier for Chris Sale.
All right, Brandon, before I let you go, the Braves make the postseason if this facet of the game or this particular player has a strong finish to the season.
I think I would look at Ozuna, Olsen, and Soler. I look at 3, 4, 5 in the order. Look, I think the pitching is going to continue to be there, but the Braves are going to need the bats a little bit more, and that meat of the lineup is going to have to produce. And Marcelo Ozuna has done it all season long, even though he hasn't hit as many homers over the last month. He's still hitting for average, second-best batting average in the National League, which is just tremendous. So I think if that meat of the order can give the Braves a little bit more of a boost here down the stretch, I really like their chances. And again, it's ultimately, I think, going to come down to those three games against the Mets at Truist Park, and hopefully that place will be rocking and the Braves can get it done.
All right, Brandon, appreciate the time as always. I am at State Farm Arena. We are rocking here right now. We're sending that energy with you against the Miami Marlins tonight. Appreciate it as always.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Brandon Gaudin, the voice of the Braves here on Bally's. Make sure you check him and CJ and all the other guys out. They always do such a tremendous, tremendous job. All right, we are halfway home here on this fast-moving Saturday program on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When we get back to start off the second half of the show, would we do it any other way? Of course not. It is time for the producer six-pack with Eric Slaughter when we get back. We are 570,000 meals down to 1 million. Make the assist one day, one community, 1 million meals packed at State Farm Arena. Also coming up, we are going to be joined by our very own Caleb Johnson. Since we're here, let's talk about the Hawks. They do get started in just a couple of short days with some practices and pregame or preseason starting soon. So we'll talk about that and much more in a jam-packed third hour of the show up next.